The sound that you are hearing are the voices of the young boys and girls of the San Ildefonso School in Madrid calling out two numbers. One is the number of a winning ticket for the Christmas lottery, and the other is a prize. It is, in this particular case, the one belting out the long drawn out 1,000 euros or 1,000 euros is an adorable girl named Aya, who captured the hearts of the Spanish for her vigorous voice. These kids are the fortunate ones to have been chosen to sing out the winning numbers every December 22nd. They are joined by a team of classmates who have also passed the audition to go on TV and announce joy to millions around the country. It's what they've been doing ever since 1771. Why children? Well, naturally, because their hands and their hearts are innocent and untainted. They are there to ensure the integrity of the raffle, if only as a symbolic gesture. Traditionally, there were just boys, but since 1984, girls also do the honors. Their job? Well, they have to collect a wooden ball with a number and another with a prize amount, and they call them out one after the other before sliding them on a metal rod like a skewer. The balls fall into their possession from two immense golden cages, sometimes known as hoppers, that sort of spin around and round and then eject one ball at a time. It's almost as if you were at a bingo parlor. Of the two cages, one of them is noticeably larger than the other. It contains 100,000 individual wooden balls, each with a number printed on it. From 0000, that's five, to 99,999. The other cage holds the prizes, which also has the amount printed on the wooden ball. The children will repeat this process over and over until all 1,807 prizes have been announced, along with their corresponding numbers. The vast majority are small prizes known as pedrea, but there are also a total of 13 major prizes, the first one being the famous gordo, meaning the fat one, or the jackpot. All in all, the draw takes about 3 to 4 exhausting hours to complete. It's a cumbersome system by today's standards, but a yearly custom that is so old, so classic, so deeply rooted in Spanish Yuletide tradition that no one would dream of doing it any other way. This is such an important event. For many, it marks the true kickoff of Christmas time in Spain. You kind of have to be here to understand its transcendence, but it's a unique experience, I tell you. So, in today's podcast, we're going to tell you a little bit about the history of the Christmas lottery, because it's been around for a very long time and is an essential part of Spanish culture. When did this all start? After all, mass gambling isn't normally the first thing you think of when you think of Christmas customs. How on earth did this get started? Now, I have to admit, I always thought that lotteries were a fairly recent addition to mankind. But that's not true at all. The gambling game has been around for thousands of years. The Chinese and the Romans both had their versions of raffles. But as for something resembling our idea of a lottery, more recent versions arose in Europe in the 15th, 16th, and 17th century, and in different countries. They were more sporadic than anything, and organized usually to raise funds for specific ends, like construction of a wall or reparation of a church. The sorteo de Navidad, the Christmas lottery, or the gordo, as it is popularly known, is one of the oldest lotteries in the world. In fact, it's the second oldest to exist nonstop since its inception, behind the Dutch National Lottery, which started in 1726. The Christmas lottery wasn't the first in Spain. In fact, the lottery first came to Spain in 1763 during the reign of King Carlos III, who had imported it from Naples, Italy, at the request of his Sicilian-born minister, the Marquess or Marquis of Esquilache. This statesman was actually more famous for almost single-handedly triggering a citywide riot in Madrid over restricting certain garments, namely hats and capes, which he suggested were being used to conceal weapons. His ban was so unpopular, the city almost turned into open revolt, and he actually was dismissed for it. But anyway, he also introduced a state-sanctioned addictive product. And the first draw took place on December 10th of that very year, 1763. What was the goal? Well, it's obvious. They were doing it for the very same reason governments, to this day, allow it. It meant revenue without taxing. But the lottery that we know about today, the famous Christmas lottery, got its start in 1812 for some similar reasons. It debuted in the city of Cadiz, where the provisional government was located and was looking for ways to get more funds, since much of the money they had been spent on the Peninsular War that was trying to get rid of Napoleon and his troops from Spain. The brains behind the initiative was a minister named Ciriaco González Carvajal. He was secretary of the Indias, which basically meant Spain's possessions in America, possessions which were about to disappear from Spain's empire, I might add. All the same, Spain was suffering from the war and was strapped for cash, as I was mentioning, so González came up with a way that many considered to be a tax on the poor. Of an unabashed way of increasing revenue for the state through enticement of becoming wealthy. And it worked. The draw took place on December 18th, 1812, and the price of each ticket was 40 reales. It was known as the Lotería Moderna at the time, as opposed to the older lottery I was mentioning before, Esquilache's lottery, which came to be known as the Primitiva. The Primitiva actually still exists today, though it was discontinued for about 120 years, so it hasn't earned the distinction as the oldest continuously existing lottery. Anyway, getting back to the Lotería Nacional, that first year the winning number was 3,604, that's 03604, and the jackpot was 8,000 pesetas, which must have been a tidy sum back then since the vice president's salary was something like 5,000 pesetas. Once the French were gone, they moved it to Madrid, and it's been there ever since, basically. Also in 1813, the famous wooden balls were included, and in 1850, the hoppers, those round golden cages or baskets, were introduced. In 1892, it was called the Sorteo de Navidad for the first time, and 5 years later, the very same name was printed on the tickets themselves. In 1919, the Lotería Nacional expanded, and there were now draws three times a month, but the Christmas one was always kept as a special one and has remained the king of them all to this day. One of the feats that makes it special is that it hasn't missed a year, ever, and that's including when the country was being torn apart by civil war. In fact, in 1938, in the middle of the Spanish Civil War, two draws were held, one in Barcelona by the legitimate government and another one in Burgos by the insurgents led by Franco. And that in itself should give you an idea of just how important it is to the Spanish. In 1957, it was televised for the first time and has been like that ever since. And before that, people listened to the numbers being called out over the radio, and sometimes they still do. It's not unusual to see someone maybe working at their desk with the radio on, or maybe nowadays the computer on, and they'll be listening as the numbers come in. You can sometimes even hear it almost as background music. Taxi drivers will be listening to it on the radio. And in 1984, as we mentioned before, is the year when girls were allowed to participate in the calling out of numbers for the first time. In 2002, euros were also used for the first time, and there was certain concern as to how easy it would be for the children to sing out the numbers before they would say peseta, and now they had to go to euros, and they thought that was going to be a complication, but they made it. They made it through. The number of numbers, so to speak, has also gone up over the years. In 1965, there were 60,000 numbers. And then in the 70s, it actually went down to 55,000 numbers. And then from 1982 to 2004, it was 66,000 numbers. That's when I got involved in the lottery here, and I remember that. And then it rose up to 85,000. And now in 2011, or 10 years ago, the numbers increased to 100,000, which is the current number. The odds have gotten worse, I've noticed. I used to usually win something every year. No, I won't say every year. Every 2 or 3 years. But they're still pretty good compared to other lottos around the world. All sorts of interesting stories have arisen from over 200 years of gambling. These include the one about the man who in 1949 claimed he actually dreamed the exact winning number, and then he was smart enough to go out and buy it. The number was 55,666. He told his friends to do the same, but few believed him and basically ignored his suggestion and lost out. Other stories. Well, in 2009, the world was pleased to learn that an immigrant who was basically penniless when the draw took place actually won $300,000 that year. So that certainly took a load of stress off his back. Then there's the story of two friends from Andalusia who bought tickets, one in Seville and the other in Madrid, and one ended up winning the first prize and the other one ended up winning the second prize. And then in 1986, a girl sang out the wrong prize money. The following year, something similar happened. This was considered to be sort of a scandal, but in fact, it was just an honest mistake. But it isn't always like that. With so many succulent prizes, it's logical that temptation to cheat people out would be too great, and fraud, on occasion, has tainted its reputation. Probably the most famous story took place in 1951 in Seville, when a man named Miguel Escamez Arquero, aided by two assistants, would sell 1 peseta bets from his lottery agency. As many as 120,000 papers were printed out and sold in different numbers. But the sad truth is, there was no financial backing for these numbers. So if a number won a small prize, well, the shop or the agency would probably be able to absorb it. But if it took a major prize, the scammers would be in big trouble. And guess what? That very year, the number 02704, one of the numbers they were selling, had the misfortunate fortune of hitting the jackpot. Yes, that's right, first prize. So suddenly, they were forced to try and pay out all those who had a paper. And something in the neighborhood of 7,500 pesetas for every 1 peseta bet. The problem was they had sold nearly 5,000 1 peseta bets, an amount that far exceeded the income. So basically, they were screwed and arrested and put on trial and sentenced to prison time. Escamez got 22 years. I think the other two got 7 years. But probably the worst thing about this is that many of the victims were poor and working class individuals who were burned and at the same time incensed when they realized that their winnings were worth zilch. So many had counted on that money to solve many of their financial woes or help the family members out with medical conditions. So it was a tragedy all the way around. Another fairly well-known scam is something called the tocomocho, which consists of offering a winning, albeit fake, ticket for a price below the amount the person would take in if they had actually cashed it in. That person comes up with sort of a half-convincing excuse as to why they themselves cannot redeem the ticket, and the unwary individual hands over the money in exchange for the ticket, and then when they go to the window, they learn it is fake and worth nothing. But for the most part, purchasing a ticket is perfectly safe as long as you go to an official lottery agency. A lottery agency is the legendary Doña Manolita in the center of Madrid. Doña Manolita was actually born Manuela de Pablo, and she opened her first lottery retail location back in 1904. In 1931, she moved it to the Gran Vía Street. And then finally to the present location on Calle del Carmen near Puerto del Sol in the center of Madrid. And there people line up sometimes by the hundreds and I dare say by the thousands to buy tickets. I swear by this. I've seen this before. The line will go around the block. The number of times this outlet has sold the winning ticket or one of the big prizes may seem uncanny, but it probably has more to do with the sheer volume of tickets sold there than anything else. But still, that's the famous one. And yet, for all its fame, it doesn't match the success, in sales at least, a location in Catalonia has. This one is known as the Bruja de Oro, the Golden Witch, and it is located in the aptly named town of Sort. Sort means luck in Catalan. The agency sells annually nearly 1% of all the tickets sold in the entire lottery, of which 87% comes from purchases online. The Golden Witch has hit the jackpot or another major prize 33 times in the last 3 decades, so that's pretty impressive. An inordinately high number of Spaniards participate in the Christmas lottery, by far the most popular in Spain and one of the most popular in the world. Many who would not normally dream of betting, and yet they do, because they don't want to be left out when others win. It has been reported that as many as 40% of those who buy Christmas lottery tickets say that they would prefer not to buy them in the first place. Fear, as I said, might be behind some of it. Staying out can be costly. In 2011, for example, all 215 residents of Sodeto, a village near the French border, won the big prizes, all except one, Greek filmmaker named Kostas Mitsotakis, who didn't buy his. And, well, since then has probably had to do a lot of thinking to come to terms with that loss. Another reason is that because there are only 100,000 numbers, which sounds like a lot, but isn't that much, the close calls are commonplace and the winnings are actually fairly common. I've come within 7 numbers of the winning ticket, and one time, and I can tell you what the exact year was, how could I forget, 2002, I actually saw the number. It was the day before the draw, that would be December 21st, I was walking by the agency, the ticket agency, and I was at the door and I saw only one number left on the window, 08103. It would have been my number because there were no other numbers to pick from. I sort of paused, wavered, thought about it, and I said, nah, don't bother. And I left for home. The next morning, the TV vans swooped in on the location to get the impressions from the owners. Because the winning number was the one I had seen. I'm not sure if I spent sleepless nights, but yes, it did take me a little while to recover from that one. Today, the Gordo, which by the way really refers to the jackpot, not the name of the lottery, boasts to be one of the biggest lotteries in the world. The cash payout is nearly 2.5 billion euros. Overall, that's right, 2.5 billion. Ironically, if you hit the jackpot and happen to possess one entire number, you will get 4 million euros, which is a modest amount compared to many lotteries these days. In fact, most people only have a decimo, which is a 1/10 participation, which means you would get 400,000 euros or 328,000 after taxes. It won't allow you to retire early, unless you're about to retire probably, but it sure does help. The reason for this is that the winning prize money is spread out all over the country and is another reason why this lottery is so popular. How does that work? That, my friends, is for another day because it's a little bit too complicated. It's very interesting, but it's complex. So anyway, I think we'll stop there. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to us on Spotify, Amazon, Castos, and if you wish to support us, check us out on Patreon. You can find the link below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto. And as departing music, let's listen to Aya and her lottery singing again. Take it away.